Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. The title of this lesson is Trifle Not with the Gospel. Don't play around with the Gospel. You know, we can play around with a lot of things, but not the Gospel. You know, this is dealing with God's chief glory, His redemptive glory. And to make a false profession is what we will see here and what it led to. Now the Lord reveals to His church, the infant church at that time and to us now, that there will always be tares among the wheat. Satan will always be at work. You know, the scripture says that Satan is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He never rests. He's always trying to divide God's people. He's always trying to bring a blotch on the glory of God, His redemptive glory, God's chief glory. There will always be some in the church that are covetous, idolatrous, hypocrites. There will always be that. Always be. Simon Magus, he's a good example. You remember the story of Simon Magus? You know, he tried to purchase the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When he saw the laying on of hands, he wanted to purchase it. And the apostle said, your heart's not right with God. Your money perish with you. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they made a golden calf. They had Aaron to make a golden calf, and they worshiped that golden calf. And for the most part, they died in the wilderness. They did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. They did not believe God. They had the name, but not the nature. And this is what we'll see here in Ananias and Sapphira. They carried the name of a Christian. They said, we are Christians. They were baptized. And they joined in with this group, the believers, this group of believers. And they made a profession and they carried that name, but the name doesn't give you the nature. That's a work of God. That's a work of God. And it comes out. It comes out in one's life. It comes out through acts of faith. And really this starts back in chapter 4, back in verse 32. Remember this, the word of God was not written in chapters and verses. Just let this flow. Let's go back to verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Those that did believe, they were of one heart and one soul. And neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They shared, first of all, they shared the same faith. There's only one faith, the common faith of God's people. That one faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That one faith comes out in works of love. James said this, faith without works is dead. True faith shows itself in works of love. All that they possessed at one time, listen, at one time, this group of people, they were divided. They said, this is mine. The other one said, this is mine. And one believed this and another believed that. But now that God has saved them, they said, nothing is ours. They honestly believed and understood that all things belong to God. What I have and what you have belongs to God, doesn't it? All of it. Now, he's made us stewards of what he's given us. You know, everything we have, and this is so, and you realize this as you grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ. Everything we have, God has given to us, and he's made us stewards of those things. And we are to use the things that he's given us, you know, we're to use them for our, you know, for our well-being. You know, have to have a home to live in, food to eat. He's given us these things that we can take care of ourselves, but not just ourselves. He's given us these things that we can help and take care of one another. The scripture says that you may work with your hands, that you may have to give to them that are in need. Not just meet my needs, but the needs of others. And then we are stewards of these things that we may promote the kingdom of God and the gospel, that we send it out. Tell others about it. And these things come out in acts of faith. Our life is not centered on ourselves no more as it once was. You know, every one of us at one time were very self-centered. What we did for ourselves. That's so. Even the world, when the world gives in charity, there's a whole lot of that is for self-promotion. You see these so-called movie stars. I hate to call them movie stars. I don't know what else you call them, but they're called actors, which in the scriptures means hypocrites. That fits them. They're hypocrites. They're playing a part that they are not. They're acting like someone or something they're not. But what they do for themselves. They do to make themselves feel good, and they do it for recognition. You know, they give big money and then they get their name stuck up on a building or on a bridge or, you know, someplace for acts of charity. But the believer, you give out of genuine love. Love to Christ and love to one another. And you give and you don't want the recognition. You don't. Those who grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, when you give, when you help, you just assume that no one knew about it. The hypocrites, the Pharisees, they were a good example. They did what they did to be seen of men. The Lord said, you do what you do to be seen of men, because the Lord knows the heart. And he said, this is why you do it. You know, why we do something, the motive for why we do something is everything. It's everything. You can be like that woman who tossed in a penny, and the Lord says she gave of all her living. She gave everything she had. And he said the others have cast in out of their abundance. They just gave a little piece, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. The attitude in giving is everything. You know, you can give a lot, it'll be an abomination to God. But you can give a little with the right heart, and it means everything. It means everything. And this is what we see here in look at verse 33, chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, which was evidenced by their conduct. And neither was there any among them that lacked, because they all took care of each other. They looked after one another. They loved one another. That's what you do in the family, isn't it? The family takes care of one another. And they laid down they laid the price of what they had sold down at the apostles' feet and told them to distribute it. And then Barnabas is mentioned here as an example of grace. Barnabas didn't write this down about himself. Luke wrote this down about Barnabas. And Barnabas, you know, Barnabas was a preacher of the gospel. And he laid aside everything that would hinder him from preaching. He sold everything. You know, the scripture says, especially concerning like a pastor, he that warreth entangles not himself again with the affairs of this life. This that I do as a pastor is a warfare. I preach to you the gospel, and Satan is always at work to destroy it, to bring it down. We don't always see his handiwork, because sometimes it comes in the door and you don't realize what's going on. Just like here. We'll see this here in a minute. And so Barnabas here, he sells everything and he's held out as an example of grace. He says, having land, he sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. And no doubt Ananias and Sapphira, but especially Ananias, he saw this. And he saw the recognition that some of them were getting. And he wanted that, some of that recognition. He wanted to be recognized. And so he plots with his wife. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wives, they sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price. Now, is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with what, you know, he sold a piece of land, let's say he sold it for $10,000. And he keeps back part of it. But he keeps back part of it for, I think, a couple reasons. Number one, greed. He sold it, and the part that he's going to give, he didn't give it because he loved the church or he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it because he wanted recognition. That's all he wanted, was recognition. But he also kept back part of it because he did not trust the Lord to provide. He didn't trust him to provide. We might need to put this up for a rainy day. You know, we need to have a stash here on the side in case we need it. So he just gives part of it and he pulls his wife into it. Now here's a lesson for wives. You know, the scripture says, wives, be in subjection to your husband. But not in things that are wrong. Not in things that are wrong. It's like it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But not in things that are wrong. We don't subject ourselves to that. We don't submit to that. In things that are right. But not in things that are wrong. Well, he calls his wife in on it. And he says, because you've got to have a partner in this, because they're, you know, husband and wife, and they're going to go together, and they're going, and she falls right in with him. Because her heart was just as void of grace as his was. Both of them had just, they'd gotten caught up in this. You know, there was 3,000 saved, there were 5,000 saved, and they got, you know, I'm sure there were several people caught up in that. You know, Satan's at work. They got caught up in it because Satan, behind the scenes, he's at work. And he moves these tares into the church. And he does so to disrupt their unity, to disrupt their love. This is why he's always at work. He does it in families where the gospel's preached. He does it in the church. He does it wherever he can where the gospel is believed and preached. He will always be at work to disrupt. And so Ananias calls his wife in on it, and his wife also being privy to it or agreeing to it, she said, oh, it sounds good. I agree. We ought to keep back several thousand dollars here. We don't have to give it all, but we'll tell them this is what we sold it for. We sold it for 10, but we're going to tell them we sold it for $3,000. We're going to give you all of it. And his wife being privy to it, she brought a certain part. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, you see, Ananias came first. Because this plot was hatched by him under the spirit of Satan. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan And he's letting him know that he's under the power of Satan, not the Holy Spirit. And here's something that's very sobering. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You're lying to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. The Son is God. The Father is God. There's only one God, but you... He says, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. Well, what is he lying about? At first, when I was looking at this and reading it, I thought he's lying about keeping back part of the price of the land, because that's what Peter says. But he's also lying about the fact that he's saved. He's lying about the fact that he's born of God. He's lying. He's saying that he's been saved and born of God, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. He said, you're lying on the Holy Spirit. You're lying. You know, one of the things that God hates, seven things that God hates, you know what? There are six things that God hates, and he says, yay, seven. One of them is a lying tongue. Especially when you lie on God and you say that God has saved you, and he hasn't. You know how many say that today? You know how many this morning are gathering together and saying that God has saved me, and he hasn't saved them at all? They don't know Jesus Christ at all. They don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ at all. They believe on another Jesus, and they believe another God that does not exist. He says, why has Satan filled thine heart, that evil heart of yours, to lie? And over in the margin it says, to deceive the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land. While it remained, was it not in your own hand? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, you sold it. You know, it was in your power to sell it. And the money, you could, you know, the apostles didn't tell them. We don't see here where the apostles told them to go sell everything they had and give it all. They did this voluntarily. Someone did it, and another one did it, and then another one did it, and they did it, but they said, we're going to tell them we sold it for X amount of dollars, and we're going to keep back X amount of dollars. He said, you didn't have to do that. The very fact you did that shows the state of your heart. It shows the hypocrisy of your heart. It shows a lying tongue. It shows that God has done nothing, no work of grace in you. That's what it shows. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. You see, in verse 3, he says, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, he connects the Holy Ghost with being God. He says, you've not lied to men, but to God. You lied to God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. God killed him. God killed him right there on the spot. Just fell right down dead. And here's the reason why. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Then the young men took him out and buried him. And then about 3 hours later, in verse 7, his wife comes in. She doesn't know what's happened. She doesn't know her husband died. She comes in 3 hours later, and Peter asks her. And here, listen, here's an opportunity to make things right. You see, Ananias pulled her in on it. She agreed with it. But here, she's given an opportunity to repent. And she doesn't. She doesn't. She sticks with the plan. She sticks with the plan. She knew better. Ananias standing there knows he's lying. She's standing there before Peter, whom God has given a discerning spirit. And there she stands with an opportunity to repent and say, no, this is not so. She doesn't. Because her heart's not right with God either, just like her husband. Both of them have made a false profession. Both of them are hypocrites. Both of them are actors. They're acting out a part that they are not. And Peter answered her and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord, to lie to God? You see, here's the great offense of a false profession. You're not just lying to the people. You're lying to God. You're lying to God, and you're lying on God, because you're saying, he has saved me, and he hasn't. He's given me a new heart, and he hasn't. And he says, behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and she fell down dead, and they carried her out. They carried her out. Both of them made a false profession. They're very hypocritical in their selling of the land and the price they've received and what they were going to give. They lied. They lied to God. And they did so for recognition. What's the one thing the Lord tells us in the gospel? Except you deny yourself. Believers, they deny themselves. They deny themselves of recognition. He must increase. I must decrease. I must fade away into nothing. Or better off to say this, I must fade away into him. I must fade away to such an extent that when you hear me, you are hearing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you leave here, you are thinking upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That you are amazed at what a Savior. What a Savior we have. Well, they carried her out dead, and they buried her also. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, and they buried her beside her husband. In verse 11 here, and this is why God did this at that time, and for the early church at that time, because Satan was hard at work. And the Lord let it be known how serious it is to confess Christ. How serious it is to call yourself a Christian and not be serious about it, not be committed to it. Great fear came upon all the church. I guarantee you, at this time, that they were not so quick to make a profession. I guarantee you, at this time, when this went abroad, what happened? They gave serious, serious thought to this matter of confessing Christ. They gave serious matter to it. You know, we live in a day, you know this, we live in a day of easy believism. Come down the aisle, say a prayer, repeat this prayer after me. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. If you've repeated this prayer, then call this number and tell us about it. Because we need your credit card too. That's what it is. They need your credit card number. But we live in such an easy believism. And the Lord shows right here, you don't trifle with the gospel. It's serious business. This thing of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, now listen, it is an all-out commitment. He is my life. He owns me. If I'm His, I have been redeemed. You know what that means? I have been purchased. I have been purchased. Paul says, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. We are the servants of God. We serve in His kingdom. We serve in His vineyard. And this matter of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is serious business. It's interesting to me how there are some, and I know them. I know some. I know too many. They make a profession, but they rarely show up. They say God has saved them, but you rarely see them. Every once in a while, they're every once in a while people. You know, they show up every once in a while. I think you don't know how much trouble you're in if you're just making a profession and you've duped yourself, not God. We never deceive Him. He knows the heart. God knows the heart. I pray that God would make it clear to us that we are His and He is ours. That this is just not something we got, we've gotten fixed up so we don't have to go to hell. Someone's talked us into a profession. But that God has genuinely given us a new heart and a right spirit, and we are His. And we are totally sold out, committed to Jesus Christ. He is my life. Without Him, I don't have one. And what I have belongs to Him. And I'm a steward, and you are a steward of what He's given us. And I pray that by God's grace, He'll enable us to be faithful stewards. All right.